It's a new paradigm, and we're leading it. For the women ready to unbind themselves from the shackles of business that feels like gray cubicles and stuffy suits, for business that feels like creativity and magic, for the women ready to trade in rigid boxes for delicious feminine flow. It's time for feminine leadership and business done differently. Businesses built from equal parts intuition and strategy, creativity and logic, structure and flow. We're taking up space with uniquely differentiated brands. We're messaging with equal parts head and heart. And for the women going to the top, we're scaling with structural excellence to allow our feminine flow to dance, equal parts pleasure and precision roaring into the marketplace. I'm Catherine Morrison, and I'm helping women from ground zero to multiple millions do just that. From spiritual awakenings to parsing through nuanced funnel data, from creative urges and intuitive knowings to the most razor-sharp business strategy on the market, I've got you covered. I spent my career scaling 8- and 9-figure companies, had a massive spontaneous Kundalini awakening, and now I'm on a mission to help women build businesses that make the world a better place. We're doing it our way, and we're doing it in style. This is Ascension Through Entrepreneurship. Are you ready? Let's go. Hello, hello, everyone. How's it going? Okay, boy, do we have a show for you today. Get ready, because we are going to cover recovering from financial, like, I would say bad financial investments. And obviously, like, good or bad is always subjective, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But today we're defining it as something that you would perceive as circumstantially it is bad. It was bad, right? And I'm going to walk through some of the bad financial investments that I have made. But then I actually think the most important thing, if you could take anything away from this episode, it's the skill, like the transmission of the skill of being able to extract the wisdom from bad financial investments, recover very quickly, and use it as a tool for your expansion. So I was thinking about this. It's funny. I have this, sometimes I like to do like series with you all, like a series of podcast episodes. And I was thinking about doing a series around like investing in coaching programs or investing in your personal development or your business expansion and the different things you need to look at. I'm still thinking I might have an episode next week around sort of a different facet of this. And then I was going to sort of cap it with how to recover from bad financial investments as like the end of the series. But it's, you know how we do things around here at Catherine Morrison Coaching. And it's sort of like I will have certain things in my awareness, sort of bubbling up in my awareness, and then spirit will speak to me through synchronicity, right? And one of the things that has happened recently is at the end of the last Mastermind season launch, we had our super fun birthday blitz, and a lot of you bought power hours with me where you were able to just book a 1-hour session and we could cover whatever it is that you wanted to cover. And it's been very fun to do those power hours with you all. And one of the things, I've actually had 2 different sessions in the last week, one with a high multiple 6-figure entrepreneur and another with a multiple 7-figure. It was actually 2 women that run an agency that had booked some time with me. And something that came up with both of them was they basically, in their period of growing, they actually both wanted to work on profitability, and they wanted to book time with me to look at how do I increase profitability in my company. But part of that was looking at what sort of financial mistakes have been made in the past and how do we recover from them? How do we not repeat them, but how do we not hold bad energy from them? And one of the things that I've noticed from these 2 women that came forward and booked these sessions with me was the level of emotional and entrepreneurial maturity that they brought to it, recognizing the bad financial investments that they had made and recognizing, you know, like if I could go back, I wouldn't do it that way, or it would be this, this, or this. But there wasn't like this sort of people on their high horse, right? So I think one of the things I just wanted to talk about that I have just noticed, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the episode, but I was basically with a mentor during a period of her rapid expansion from, I think like over the 3 or 4 years that I worked with her, she went from like 800,000 a year to I think like 12 million a year. And with that were a whole lot of, I would say bad decisions, right? That were made that sort of ultimately ended in a huge sort of outflow of clients from her containers. So she had a lot of people leave her highest level, like I think like 75% of her clients left this highest level container that I was in. And there's been even in her mid-level container, like a huge outflow. And what's so fascinating to me has been watching, because I'm connected to a lot of these people, right, in networks, in my personal network, and watching those of us that left, what you could even say, right, like if you were to look at the data and we were to like poll everybody, it's like, yep, the majority would say not good. So it's like, okay, well, if that is going to be a thing, then we could say like objectively for most people, it was a bad investment, right? But then even from there, just looking at how those of us recovered quickly, used it as a tool for our expansion, and like have continued to grow and thrive in the marketplace. And I've seen other people, literally same circumstances, right? Like made a bad financial investment. And what one of the things I've noticed, because these people, I see them like posting in some of like the groups that I'm in on Facebook, like how much resentment, anger, resentment is like the big energy that they seem to be holding. It's like this gigantic ball inside of them around this bad financial investment that they made. And what the main difference is the level of consciousness that those of us are operating at that have decided to empower ourselves and thrive and move on, and others who are really trying to solve it from a victim level of consciousness. And if you think about in within like levels of consciousness, from very low level of consciousness to a very high level of consciousness, victim consciousness is a very low level of consciousness. And so I can see the people who are stuck, and they've been stuck, maybe they left the container like 2 years ago, right? And I still see them posting today, like stuck there. I can see that there's this ball of energy of resentment and regret and anger that's just like they're still like back there. It's like there's this thing that happened 2 years ago that they're still holding, they're still stuck in a net holding on to. And what that has essentially created for them from being in that lower level of consciousness is they've put themselves into, if you are familiar with this concept, something called the drama triangle. So if you're a psychology nerd, you might already be aware of this, but where a lot of people end up getting stuck is when there's something and there is a villain, there is a victim, and then there's a hero. And what I've noticed with the people who have all experienced the same thing that I've experienced, but they've come out of it and are stuck in that lower level of consciousness, they I was a victim, I was a victim. And so the way that they think that they need to solve for that is, I now need to be a hero. And I need to like sound the alarms and like warn all the people, right? And so they're now stuck in this drama triangle for years. I'm seeing them stuck there for years, and their business is suffering and their mental health is suffering and like everything is suffering because they have stuck themselves in the drama triangle, right? So they have moved from the way that they're trying to find power is, okay, there's this villain and there's this victim, and I have to be the hero here, right? And so I'm just watching the loops over years, whereas those of us who are in that same situation and just like, there's no stuck energy, right? There's like just a curiosity, compassion, And even like certain things where it's like, yeah, I didn't like that, but I don't hold on to it. Like there's nothing where there's like stagnant energy and I'm like looping in the same thing for years about it. And I've just noticed even some of my friends who are in that same experience, who have gone on to have really thriving, healthy businesses. They're very happy. They have, you know, just everything. Their mental health is thriving. Their finances are thriving. Everything is thriving. They went through that same experience from a higher level of consciousness, from a more empowered place. And so the thing that I want to like lay out as the foundation before I talk about anything other, like I'm going to go through some of my bad investments. You're going to hear it today, right? But I want you to think about the way that you move on quickly from a bad financial investment, the way that you recover quickly is you find the root cause either of what made you make that decision. And I would say find the root cause of like, if there was anything that made you make that decision that going back, you actually could have avoided it. Like maybe your intuition was like, don't do this, right? Maybe there were red flags that you didn't see. And I'm going to talk about some of those in some of my investments, right? And so when you can get to that root cause and you're like, oh, okay, I can see the root cause. When I look at what actually led me into that thing and it ended up being a bad decision, I can see this here, right? Then you can also look at what made that investment go sideways or not work out or be bad, and what was the root cause of that, and can you solve for that moving forward? And again, the really important thing when you do this root cause work is that you are in a higher level of consciousness. So if you are in the Brand Alchemy program, this is when you want to go into the internal rebrand section. You can work on all of the modules in the energy section around the different levels of consciousness. You can go and do some of the different embodiment practices to actually like get yourself into a different lane. It's like changing the channel on your level of consciousness, and you want to make sure you're in a more constructive place, a higher level of consciousness before you try to solve the problem, right? It's like Albert Einstein when he says like, you can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it. Right? So if there's anything, and the way that you know if you're in a lower level of consciousness around this is if you're in any of the feeling states, resentment, right? Bitterness, anger, victim, like I am a victim around this, right? And there's even a place we're not going to talk about this today, but like there are certain things where you could literally be a victim. Like I was raped, right? When I was in my early 20s, and I can come to that from an empowered level of consciousness as someone who is very technically by definition, when I went to the police, I was working with like the special victims department in New York City, right? So there's like different ways that we can look at this. We're not going to go that far today. Today we're focusing on your business, right? But it's like thinking about it through. It doesn't matter what the thing is. You want to come to it from a higher level of consciousness. So those of you in Brand Alchemy, I highly recommend if you want to be implementing this, to be doing that energy alchemy training in that first module. And then inside the Show Up With Confidence training, in the internal rebrand section, there's what, like 60 embodiment practices that we have inside the membership for you now. So those, all of that together is really going to, it's everything you're doing to uplevel your identity fundamentally. And so it's really going to help you actually implement this work if you're feeling any stuck points around this. And if you're not in Brand Alchemy yet, we are open all the time. So you're welcome to join us and use those tools to get yourself into a better state of consciousness around anything that feels crunchy if we cover that. So where I solve problems from is from an energetic lens, right? Like the level of sort of consciousness is curiosity, openness, compassion. And I would say even confidence, like really rooted into self-confidence. I have such a strong relationship with myself from doing the Brand Alchemy process that I do not spend time. Like if I make a mistake, I literally remember before doing Brand Alchemy work, I would make a mistake and I would literally ruminate on it. I'm not even kidding, for like a week. Like, I would send an email and like a month later, it would still sting like inside of me when I like thought of it, right? I had such a bad relationship with myself. But then through doing the brand alchemy process, I got to the point where like I have such an incredible relationship with self, and that's the internal rebrand work, right? It's you're looking at your perception of self, your relationship with self, and cleansing all of the transmission of that, the energetics of that, getting it squeaky clean, so that then when I go to observe these things, one, I'm in a higher level of consciousness around it, and two, because of that, I can actually see so much faster where I fucked up, where I was weak, where I made a mistake. And there's no layering of judgment onto that. There's just awareness, right? I can have awareness without the layering on of those lower levels of consciousness, right? Like judgment, anger, like any of that. Like I don't have that with myself. I just don't have that with others. Like I've just cleansed those energies, right? And so with that as the frame, that's like step one, right? Like do not go into the drama triangle around anything here. Really stay in your seat of power. Look at what you can learn and move on. So now we're going to get into some of Catherine's bad mistakes. So the first one, and we're literally dealing with this right now in my house, and it is a bad real estate investment. So I haven't really talked a lot about I'm not a real estate coach, right? It's just like, we are very wealthy. We have a multi-million dollar net worth at this point. And because of that, we're throwing off money into a lot of different things, not just my business, not just stock, but we invest quite heavily in, usually it's like multifamily apartment buildings, things like that. So we do quite a bit of real estate investing. And listen, y'all, I might be a wealthy woman, but Catherine fucked this one up. So this was probably, when did we make this investment? It was probably like 3 years ago that we made this investment. And it was our first investment into farmland. And I know, like, you're just gonna have to bear with me and extract the wisdom of this lesson, because I know most people here aren't investing in farmland, right? But one of the things that I could say looking at that, what happened is there were certain things, certain red flags with that investment that I could see. I could see it before we even made the investment. But we were going in, it was like a deal that my friend had brought us in on, that is a very wealthy real estate investor, and he brought us into this deal. And I definitely like gave away my power. I was just like, okay, sure. Like here's, I don't remember. It wasn't a lot. I think it was like $50,000 or something that we put in, which I know might sound like a lot to some people, but when you get into some of these real estate deals, like a lot of them are minimum $100,000, $200,000 investment. So in the grand scheme of things, like we're lucky that it was a lower investment level. But basically, these people that were going to be tasked with taking on this farmland, and the whole business plan was that it was like an older farmer. I think actually the farmer had passed away, and his wife, it was basically just like farmland in Colorado that was just like not being used. Like the woman, the wife wasn't interested in running the farm. And so she wanted to offload the farmland. And when we looked at it as a business deal, it was like, okay, well, the crops that are getting grown on that land are actually, in terms of the yield, right, like what they're producing and then what they can be sold for, there's not a lot of margin. So if all we do is pull out like all those acres of the, I forget even what it was. I think it was like barley and, oh, what was it? Barley and potatoes or something. It's just so ridiculous, right? So we were gonna pull out those acres, not me, right? But this was the business plan, and replant crops that had higher yield and higher profit margins. And that was the plan. That was the business plan. That sounded beautiful, right? But the people that were going to be tasked with running the farm did actually have a sort of ding against them. They had a prior bankruptcy in the past in another real estate venture that they had, but that was explained. Like in the business plan, they thought about that and they'd explained this is why that happened and it wouldn't happen again. And if I'm very honest, I had a kind of a bad feeling about it. Like I had sort of a bad intuition about it, but logically the way that they were explaining it made sense, right? And so I think looking at root cause, it was sort of like I overrode my intuition in that moment, right? When I went and I made the decision to make that investment. And I also didn't ask follow-up questions. And when I look at from a mindset perspective where that came from, it was because it was my first farmland deal. And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, it seems like they know, like they seem very confident. So like, it's probably just fine. Right. So when I look at what made Catherine make that bad decision, it was not trusting, like clear intuition. And it was also not like following it up with questions. When there was something that looked like a red flag, I didn't ask follow-up questions because of my lower, like who I perceived myself to be in that real estate deal, right? And so looking at that, I'm like, okay, I can see what created me making that decision in the first place. The other thing that I can just say, like, this doesn't matter whether or not you're investing in farmland, right? You want to be wary of rushing energy. And when I look at what happened with this farmland deal, there was this, it hasn't been this way with like other real estate deals. Of course, deals come together quickly. They need to get the money in, all of those things. But there's a difference between an empowered level of like, we're confident and we're moving fast and we're making moves. This wasn't that. It had an energy of like, we got to move, like we got to hurry, come on, like that sort of energy. And I can tell looking back, I got swept up into that. And it like reduced my level of ability to, I think really when we get swept up into that kind of like emotion, that kind of energy, it removes us from two things, which are my most valuable skills, which is one, my very strategic, logical mind, and also my very deep connection to my intuitive knowings, right? And so when I look at that, like the rushing energy, I allowed myself to sort of get enmeshed with it. So when I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, these are all things that I know moving forward to not replicate, to not do again. I know that if I feel that energy again, I'm going to make a different decision. I know that, you know, if this or this happens again, I will not make the same mistakes. So do you see how I can like, I'm not beating myself up, right? Like there's just no, it's going to be clean. Like we've made so many other, like, listen, we have known this real estate deal was going sideways for like a couple years now. Every year when it comes tax time, like their K-1 is late. And it has gotten to, this is actually like the last thing that I'll say is, one of the things when you are looking at an investment is you just want to look at like, oh, okay, what is my worst case? And when I looked at that, I was like, okay, well, like our worst case, because I was looking at, okay, I know that these guys have some like red, like there's a little bit of a red flags with these guys. And I know that like this deal is coming together fast, but what is my worst case? And my worst case is we still have the land, right? So like, even if these guys like royally mess up and they don't turn the farm over and we don't start producing the crops right away and we just don't get the yield and the profits that we're anticipating from this business plan, our worst case is we sell the land. And it was in an area of Colorado where real estate was increasing. So like all market factors, right? If you were in the marketplace mini mind, you know, like investments, you're always just looking at marketplace factors. So like the marketplace factors were good for this, right? But one of the things I didn't anticipate was the worst case of like, we just sell the land wasn't as clean as it looked. Because it turns out, right, the way that the legal structure of what's been put together is we're basically, and luckily I'm just like an investor, and this is for my real estate friend, I think this is actually a lot more on him that's been a stressor, because he basically put this deal together. He brought some of us together as investors, and he's taking on the front loading of there's going to be legal action taken. There has to be legal action taken for us to actually get the ownership of the land to be able to sell it. And we're moving towards that now because there has been just a repeated demonstration that they don't know what they're doing. And so when I look at my worst case, it's like, oh, okay, like our worst case was, and who knows where it's even going to end up. Like, we're going to get our money back, but then there's also like, there's the legal fees. There's the different things that we're going to have to put forward in order to be able to get the land back and sell the land. And who knows where that's going to end. So I think it's either that we will have a small amount of profit from that deal. We will come, you know, clean, or we might like miss out on some money of that investment, right? Because depending on how drawn out the legal process is, if that comes out of, you know, what we're having to pay to get that back. So who knows, right? And so I'm looking at that now and I'm like, oh, the worst case wasn't as clean as it looked, right? Because for me, like, we've never had a real estate. We've been very fortunate with our real estate deals that we haven't had a bad one. Like, all we have is like really great profits that come back. We make a lot of money passively and we work with really good people. And I think this was just an example where, you know, we learn, right? We make mistakes and we learn. And so those are some examples of, I don't know, hopefully you can just tell where my energy's at around this like $50,000. And I'm not mad at those dudes up there. I'm not like angry. I'm not going to go up there with like a pitchfork. Like, are we going to take legal action? For sure. Of course. But I'm not staying up at night worrying about it. I'm not stressing about it. It feels to like, it's just math. It's just math. It's just an investment. And we're going to do the best that we can given the situation as it's gone sideways. And so I think hopefully there's like a transmission in this, both from the maturity of my energy around discussing something like this and the sort of takeaways that I've had, because I do think, you know, the reason why I've been able to create such a very high net worth for my age and make really good decisions and make repeated investments, right, is I think the way that I, one, think about investments and make investments, and then two, when something goes sideways, the way that I recover from those investments. So that was the one that was front and center, because I think I literally just got an email yesterday about like the legal proceedings moving forward on this piece of farmland. All right, so that was that. Now let's talk about my bad, quote unquote bad, mastermind investment. So this was a couple of years ago at this point, but I was in a mastermind for scaling to millions of dollars. And it is the worst business investment I've ever made. It was a bad client experience. We weren't well cared for. It was like all across the board, I would just say like bad. And I think what's interesting is like, this is where capitalism works. And we can trust what did Adam Smith say? Like the invisible hand of the market. Like we can trust that. Like that will sort of repair things in due time. We just sometimes get swept up in the bad part of it, not when like the market's correcting back. And so in this investment, basically I was paying $100,000 a year for like all that was covered was one single day of coaching every 3 months. And I think that this individual, this like mentor that I had been with, she was like a master salesperson. That was basically what she was taught to do. And I don't even think, I want to be very clear, I don't even think she's a bad person. I do think that she had almost like gotten herself so on board with how great this was. And then she was so great at selling that like it really was. Sales is just a transmission of belief from the seller to the buyer. And it worked. And honestly, quite honestly, I had been in lower level programs of hers that were incredible and that were an over delivery. They were really great. But one of the things that, and I could see this, like she literally even said in her philosophy that when you're developing out something new, you don't have a curriculum, you start, you get in there, you like see what's happening, and then you develop it as you go. And so it was basically, I was in there during a period where I think it was, there was a round where I think it was 75% of the clients in that room left. Might have been 80, I don't know. It was like a huge, and this was like $1 million coaches, like posting on social media about how terrible this was. It was a PR fiasco for my former mentor. It was really not good for her, right? So I think this is, again, something where we could look at it and say, okay, well, if you lose like 80% of your clients in a single round, we could probably say objectively something is bad, right? Like the market will bear it. Like the market will speak and it will let you know, is this good or not? And so I think that that was something where I knew because I was aware that like a lot of these people were leaving in that time period. And I was aware that if I left, there were certain things where I knew I was going to leave soon, but there were certain things that I knew I had to work through, and I actually wanted to stay for another round to work through them, or I was going to leave with the victim and villain like narrative, right? And there were like so many things that I was looking at because I was like, okay, so what can I learn from being here? What's not working for me? And I was in this period where I had really transitioned from being like masculine, very masculine in my business, very neck up, mindset, strategy, all of that, to becoming really feminine led. So really much more in my intuition, my creativity, my connection. I had become much more embodied, right? And this was a room, they weren't marketing to embodied women. They weren't marketing to feminine led women. They were like, her whole training and background was from that neck up, very mindset level, like everything's your thoughts kind of paradigm, right? And I had this messy story about like, well, I'm intuitive and she doesn't know how to coach my intuition. And so like, and so she's bad. And this is bad. Like I had all the thoughts about how it was bad. And I knew that if I left in that wave, I didn't want to leave that way. I wanted to leave in a really empowered, clean place. And so what's fascinating is I paid another $50,000 to be in for another round, knowing that it was going to be my last round. And I was like, if I clean up all of this shit, I will be so unstoppable on the other side of this. And so I ended up like staying there. And I think it's like sort of the same way that in the real estate deal where I'm talking about like, yeah, like, and now this was bad. So like, we're going to take legal action and do these things, but you can tell how like measured I am about it, how like not swirling in my emotions I am about it, that I can take action from a really clean, squeaky clean place, right? So with this, in that next round, I really was able to be like, yes, I know moving forward, I know what's not working for me in this space. I know what's not working for me is like, there's no curriculum, there's not really a structure. And if I'm paying $100,000 a year, that is something like I do expect as a client to have exceptional client delivery. And that's something that I'm not receiving. So I'm not angry, I'm not resentful, but it's just like kind of a boundary. Like this is just something that is important to me if I'm going to be investing at that level. There were other things around like it's important for me for if I'm in a high proximity, like a close proximity space with a mentor, they need to understand intuition. My business is now intuition led, right? And so I think even for me as a coach, because I have done psychic development, I can read energy. It is the spaces I hold, right? I can know, like I can still mindset coach when someone's in a thought, I know when to use a mindset tool. I can tell when there's like something happening and it needs to be something more of like a body-based tool in the body. And I can tell when someone's saying something that doesn't make any sense, but there's an energetic signature to it that it is like an intuitive knowing from spirit. And I know how to coach that, right? And so this was an example of like, it was so useful for me to be in that space that was quote unquote terrible and quote unquote bad and like all the things, but it was just for me, right? Like I could tell I had like sort of a punch list of things leaving there that I was like, okay, I know now when I am in a close proximity space with a mentor, they have to be this way. And so it's really interesting because for a year, I was not in any high level masterminds and I just joined another high level mastermind a few months ago, 2 months ago. And it is someone who is like very intuition, energetics first. In fact, like the container is basically all of that. And that's the primary energy I'm feeding myself and living in is that more higher level of consciousness, higher vibrational space. And then I'm backing it up if I need help with strategy, like using courses or booking power hours with strategists, things like that, because I basically flipped, right? I used to be very masculine up in my head. And now I flipped. I'm much more intuitive, much more connected to what wants to work through me. And then I'm using my incredible strategy mind to actually bring that through and ground it into the 3D. So that's an example of like the different things that I learned from being in that space of like what worked and didn't for me, even in something that you could say with 80% of people leaving, it was like pretty objectively terrible, right? But I was able to extract the value from it. I was able to leave that from an empowered space. So much so that actually like there were people that left that room and they burned bridges and they posted on social media. It was like a social justice, I don't even know, kind of warrior energy. I don't know what was happening, right? And I'm at a point now, I don't begrudge that former mentor. I actually see her at events. I'm happy to hug her. I'm happy to see her. I do believe that it was not a great experience. And I've actually even communicated that. I had a really long conversation with her COO, who actually recently left, but at a dinner recently, I was just very clear. I'm like, I don't begrudge you all. I don't hold resentment. I don't harbor these things, but these were things that I think was really missing from the client experience. I think these were things that were really missing from this. And I just want you to feel my energy about this, right? I can have a very adult conversation about this without, there's no trigger, right? There's no like, I'm the victim or I'm the hero and you're the villain energy. It's like, yeah, you for sure fucked up. This was bad, right? And I can laugh about it and I can have compassion for you all. And I'm not going to rejoin your spaces. Like that's just been clear to me. I do think maybe if there's like a sustained period of this person like showing that they've learned and they know better, maybe, right? But there's certain things there where it was just like I learned the lessons and I was able to walk away. And I want to like really stay here for a minute because there's something I remember. This is like for this poor former mentor of mine, it all blew up, right? Like you can't do this to clients for too long before there's basically the market will bring you to justice. And there was a huge explosion, right? Last year it was quite public and there were just a lot of people speaking very publicly, speaking very like just all of their bad thoughts, bad energy, bad opinions, all the things, right? And again, there were like the people that really were still in a victim level about it. And then there were people, and it was just so interesting to see. This was like in discussion. I think it was like on a Reddit thread that someone sent to me. But like there was this Reddit thread of all like the people like coming together to commiserate and like their misery. And they're like, this is so bad and I'm a victim energy. And then they were like posting about, and look at this person. It was like one of my colleagues that had been in the mastermind that had left when like 80% of the people left. She had left in that wave. And she had actually even come out publicly against this mentor. But what I think she had recorded a podcast episode or something. And she called it like my $50,000 mistake. And one of the things she talked about in that was how, what a terrible experience being in that room was, but how when she flew back from being at this meeting, that was sort of like, it was sort of like the straw that broke the camel's back. We don't need to go into it, but like from flying back from this thing, that was the basically decision point where a lot of people were like, that's it, we're leaving. She had sat and self-coached herself on, what are all the things I have learned from this experience? What are all the things? What is all the wisdom I can extract from this? And how can I make sure that I never duplicate? Like I know like this wasn't good. And how can I make sure that I do better in my spaces? And when she took herself there, she came out with so much awareness, so many ideas, so much clarity, so much excitement and passion for how she could do better in her business. And what I thought was so fascinating that was on this thread, people were talking about like, oh, I feel so bad for her. She's like totally gaslighting herself out of this like terrible experience that happened to her. And she was like a victim. And it's like so sad to see her gaslighting herself. And I just like laughed because I'm like, wow, it's like, you know, obviously the level of consciousness you're in, it's like the glasses you're wearing. You can't unsee something. Like you just are in sort of the place that you're in, right? And this was a space where a lot of people wanted to come together in that drama triangle and like loop around it. And so from their level of consciousness, they were looking at my friend who had had this bad experience and was like, yeah, this was definitely a $50,000 mistake and this is what happened and here's how I got through it. And their perception of her experience was that she was gaslighting herself. But what I think is so interesting is that it's only gaslighting. It would only be gaslighting herself if she was living in the victim level of consciousness. Right? If she was living in the victim level of consciousness and that lower level of consciousness and trying to like make herself like find something, that would be gaslighting herself. But she wasn't. She was living and going back to the beginning. When I look at the energy that I'm problem solving from, it's curiosity, it's compassion, it's love, non-judgment. And so she was able to take that. She can still definitively say, I did not like that experience. Right? But like her energy is so much clearer about it. And she wasn't gaslighting herself because her level of consciousness was in a higher place. And so because, remember Albert Einstein, you can't solve a problem from the same level of mind that created it. And one of the things that I noticed in this situation in particular was a lot of the people that seem like they've gone through that same experience that I went through, my friend went through, and we're feeling empowered and we're learning and we're expanding. And then other people that have gone through the same experience and it's a contraction and there's like this harbored resentment and regret and all of these things. For them, one of the defining things that I've noticed is oftentimes their level of consciousness in going into the purchasing decision was, this coach is going to save me, right? And so there's nothing that sets you up for a drama triangle of villain, victim, and hero versus like, if you come in with that and you don't get out of that where I'm an empowered woman and I'm here to co-create, of course, if you're going in for someone to save you and you think that they're the hero and then it doesn't happen, then they become the villain and then we have to like loop around in the drama triangle some more, right? And so just looking, it's just been so fascinating. And I have a lot of compassion for the people that like, it just seems like there's just a period of like multiple years where they're living. It's like they're living in the past and they can't get out of it. And so if anyone has anything like that, I just hope that you can listen to this and take it and just know it's like, to move forward, it's releasing you. To move forward from a bad financial investment, it's releasing you. It's unbinding your energy. And even if we look at something like, that farmland deal, right? Where like those guys, like it's just clear, it's actually unclear. Are they incompetent or are they malicious, right? It's unclear to me, but I forgive them. It's not useful for me to harbor. I'm not going to invest with them again. I'm going to look very differently at the way that I invest in the future, but me staying in a ball of energy around things would one, totally tank my mental health, and two, it would keep me from continuing to be able to make powerful decisions that actually continue to build my wealth, continue to build my happiness, continue to build everything that I'm wanting to build in this lifetime, right? And so that is just looking at that quote unquote bad mastermind experience that I had. I walk away from that and it feels like I learned so much. I learned so much from it. I got actually the value that I paid, I have extracted it in wisdom. And actually the same exercise, it was funny because I didn't know that my friend had done that on the airplane home until I saw it, like talked about in this Reddit thread. But it was just so interesting because it was like the exact same coaching that I had done with myself was like, oh, this was a like not a great experience for me. And how do I make sure, because I run a scaling mastermind, how do I make sure that I don't replicate this in my spaces? And I got so many ideas. I got so many ideas of, okay, like I want to make sure that I'm covering things from a more holistic lens. I want to make sure that I'm able to actually pull stuff out of my business. Like I had a power hour with one of my Pleasure and Precision masterminders. She's coming. We don't even start until May, but she had booked a power hour with me. And there were like three different projects she wanted to work on. I was like, perfect. We're just going to pull, like, I don't have that curriculum developed yet, but we're going to pull the SOPs for you. I'm going to have my team, like we scrubbed anything that had like any of our like sensitive, like data that we didn't want getting passed on. And we've just literally passed her basically like playbooks. Literally, I think like I gave her some of the stuff a week ago and she's already implemented 2 out of the 3 projects and we haven't even started. We're not even starting until May, right? And so I think that was an example of my problem solving where I was looking at, okay, well, like I haven't built out all of the curriculum. And if that's one of my issues with like having been in this other space was like the lack of actual value I was getting, that I think my company is still kind of coming out of a lot of operational debt because the space that I put myself in, this was my error, right? That mentor wasn't selling like that I help you holistically. She was saying, I help you with your sales. But when you go to actually have a company, sales is like one small piece. You need really strong delivery. You need really strong, like one of the things we're covering in Pleasure and Precision is like data collection, which is basic. It's like connection at scale, right? Like when you have hundreds and thousands of people that you're talking with every day, having methods and ways of having your finger on the pulse is really, really important. Hiring and training, like SOPs, operational procedures, workflows, all of that. None of that was covered in the space. And I think because I was investing $100,000 a year for something that was just sales, a lot of the rest of my company really suffered. And we're still climbing our way out of that operational debt that we kind of accrued from me not being in the right container for a sustained period of time. Right. And so one, it's like, I am aware of that now. And two, I'm able to make sure I'm not replicating that and passing it on. So that is my bad business investment. And now let's look at the last one that I want to talk about is a smaller investment, but I would say that it was like a bad, I would call it like a I wouldn't do it again. And this was, I've talked about it in episode 142 of the podcast, which is how to thrive in coaching programs. And it was basically a marriage coaching program that I went into that, this was one where it was not objectively bad. It was just bad for me. Okay. And so I think this is, it's also good, right? To see the nuance of like, okay, like 80% of people leave. We could probably say that's quite objectively bad. Like the marketplace is spoken, but this was one where I went into this marriage coaching program and there were some things like, it was actually, it's run by a very good friend of mine. I love her dearly. And I think the world of her, it just was the wrong space for me. And there were a couple things of that. One is I do think one of the things that my friend was doing, and this wasn't her fault, I would say, but she was marketing it to a certain level of people in their marriages where it was like, you want to have a thriving marriage. But then once I got into the energy of the group, a lot, I think over half of that room was thinking about completely leaving their marriage or ending the relationship. And so I thought I was buying into like a high vibe space of like women really taking their marriage from good to great. That was how it was marketed. Once I was in this space, that was not what it was. And so like I could have asked for my money back. It was only $5,000. I'm very actually happy. If you listen to episode 142, the way that I walked myself through that, I feel like I got such a transformation that I can be anywhere at any level of like, this is aligned or not aligned at any level of price point. And I am just such an empowered client that I can take the wisdom and move from it. But this one, I just wanted to talk about again, I have talked about in episode 142, so I'm not going to go into that too much here. But I do think one of the things about this is an example where for many, many, many people, they go through my friend's program and it changes their life. It's like 5 out of 5 stars. Like so many people love it. And it just didn't work for me. And so I think that this is an example of if you look at something and it's like to never go into the space of like, what's wrong with me? Like I just never go there, right? Like it's just so interesting because it was like, I never went into like, what's wrong with me? It was just sort of like, oh, why? Like, what can I learn about myself from being in this space where this just really isn't my preferred method of doing this work. This isn't really working for me. I can notice I want to unplug from the space, but I invested. And so I'm going to ask myself to use this. This was the tool I used to improve my marriage. So I'm going to like be here and see what I can get from it. And I was able to really turn it around and get a lot from it. But some of the things that I realized was like, okay, so like when I look at who it was working for, like I can see that I was again, this actually is so funny because this marriage coaching program, I took it at around the same time that I was like preparing to leave that former business mentor. And I was going from being very masculine paradigm, very neck up living, very living in my head, very like, even when I talked about my feelings, I wasn't feeling my feelings. It would be like, I think this, right? It was all think, not feel. And I think for me at that point, what I really wanted in my marriage, because when you think about where we want to, if there's any area of our lives where we want to not be in our head and we want to be really deeply in our hearts about, it would be something like love and marriage, right? And so one of the things that I realized from being in that space was it was sort of like I really needed a space that was going to help me get out of being neck up, get out of that masculine-led paradigm, get more into my feminine energy, get more into intuition, the world of emotions, creativity, flow, like all of the juicy stuff that, like, you know, if you look at my business like 3 years ago versus now, it's like completely flipped, right? And so being in that space was perfect for a lot of women that were in that very head, neck up, masculine paradigm, very mind focused work. It was incredible, right? But for me, I was going through this big transition where I was becoming embodied. I was becoming feminine led, right? And so looking at that, I realized that being there, it was keeping me neck up. And so what I realized was it, like, that led me down to, it's not that I don't want to do marriage work. It's that I want to do this in a different way. And realizing that and getting clear on, like, I can recognize this just mental model is not working for me. I want something that's really going to pull me into my body. That's really going to ask me to go into the depths of my feelings in ways that, like, makes me very uncomfortable, or like, I want to make myself very uncomfortable in all the embodiment ways. And so I found, like, literally the program that changed my life. It was like tantra based. It was embodiment work. It was energetics based. And working with that mentor literally changed my marriage. Like, the quality of the marriage that I have, like, now versus then, it's like night and day. It was everything I needed. And his, basically his body of work was on masculine and feminine energetics and helping women be empowered, but develop that feminine side of their energetics. And that's what I really, really needed. And because I was able to, like, do something that was, you could say it was a bad $5,000 investment, but I don't view it that way, right? Like, I view it as like, okay, like, that just wasn't working for me based on this, this, and this. I wouldn't do that again. But I would even, like, depending on the woman I was speaking to, if she was someone that was very much in that sort of more masculine led neck up kind of situation and was struggling in her marriage, I would 100% recommend this other space, right? And so I think this is where it's just like, there's different strokes for different folks, and knowing yourself and knowing what works for you. And sometimes you don't know what works for you until you're in an environment and you're like, wait, I'm learning something about myself, right? And this is not my preferred way of doing it. I think it would be much easier for me to get the transformation if I was in this, this, and this. Let me be here now. Let me be present. Let me extract what I can and, like, the value from this space. And then I know moving forward, this, this, and this. And I also just want to say, like, one of the really interesting things is, so I'm very good friends with my friend whose marriage, like, mindset marriage coaching program I was in. And then I went into this more tantric embodiment work, and I highly recommend it. I, like, talked to all my friends. I was like, y'all need to do this. He's, like, hosting, I think it was like a Valentine's Day retreat for couples. And I had done it. And I, like, listen, I was having, like, energy orgasms with my husband. We were, like, so intimate, so much more connected than we'd ever been before. It, like, blew my mind. I'm like, everyone needs to do this. And literally my friend who ran the program that, like, didn't work for me, like, she and another one of my friends went to this, like, immersion experience with the guy that I was, like, obsessed with. I loved, he changed my life. They, like, left and they were like, that was one of the worst experiences I ever had. Like, my one friend was, like, doing some of the practices with her husband, and, like, they came out of the, like, you go into these, like, deep energetic states, and it's sort of like the embodiment version of, if you've ever heard of the runner's high, how, like, when you run and it feels uncomfortable, you just have to keep going to get the breakthrough of the runner's high. This embodiment practitioner, this tantra guy, like, will take you and you will have to drop into your body and you will have to be so intimate and so connected and so deep in with yourself, with your partner, all of the things. And it's uncomfortable, right? And so you want to get out of it. But if he holds you there, and when you stay there, you can get the breakthrough, and then you have deeper intimacy, deeper connection, all of those things than you've ever had before, right? But it was just very funny because, like, my one friend was like, she and her partner actually came out of the practice early, and then they were just like sitting on Zoom, and then they were told, like, you can't just be watching the other couples, like, in practice. Like, you need to stay in practice. Or I forget what was said, but then, like, they didn't like that they were, like, reprimanded for coming out of the practice early. And so it was just so interesting, because this is one where it's just like, that literally, like, it was the thing that changed my life. And for some of my friends, just because of who they are. And I think where they were going, like, they're not trying to be like, I want to be juicy, embodied. Like, they're not even looking to do that, right? Whereas for me, I was really wanting to deepen into that, like, the more feminine led way of being. And so I think it's sort of like, I was recommending something sort of blanket, not thinking about not all women want to do that. Not all women want to do that work. And so something that didn't work for me is something that is the best thing and the best decision for so many other women. And then something that was the thing that literally changed my life is something that I sent my friends to, and they were like, that was stupid. Right. And so I think it's really getting into being able to see things with nuance and seeing who is this best for. And I think really me doing this has allowed me to see, like, with more nuance, who, with brand, right? When everything starts from your brand and it's who you are. And when you recognize, and you're doing the brand alchemy work, and you recognize who you are best for, who your work is most powerful for, you really have a sense of, like, I don't really have client issues. And I think it's because I've done such phenomenal branding work and I attract in really good people. And it's that, right? And I think something that sort of takes us out of that sometimes is if you can get into the land of, like, recommendations, where then I wasn't using the filter, right? I wasn't being nuanced in my filter of who I was recommending things to. And so that's just been in my level of awareness since having that experience. And I don't begrudge any of it. So these were all just examples. Listen, I had one more, but we're almost at an hour, so I'm not going into that. So that, I gave you three deep dive examples of quote unquote bad financial investments that I have made, how I have cleared myself. I've cleared the energy. I've come out of it more empowered. I'm still making powerful investments. I'm still able to build my wealth. I feel great day to day, right? Like, I'm not stuck in any sort of drama triangle where I feel bad, my mental health is suffering, and my business is suffering. So I hope that this was helpful. Come find me, actually. Come either, like, find me on Instagram at Catherine Morrison Coaching, or, like, if you're on our email list, I would love to hear, because we're going to send out an email about this. Reply back. Tell me your biggest takeaway from this. Tell me if there's a bad financial investment you've made, what wisdom you extracted from this, and how it's going to help you move forward. I would love to hear from you. All right, y'all. I'll see you next week. I love you so much. Bye. If you are loving what you are learning on the podcast, you are going to be over the moon inside of my programs. There are only three core skills you need as an entrepreneur: branding, messaging, and scaling. When you aren't signing the number of clients you want, it's only one of two problems. First, you're either not attracting people to work with you, or you're attracting the wrong kinds of buyers, and that is a branding problem. Or you're not communicating effectively to the people you've attracted in, so they're sitting on the fence instead of raising their hands to come work with you. And that is a messaging problem. Once your branding and messaging is on point, you get a new problem. We call it a champagne problem around here, and that's always the type of problems I want to be helping you solve. And that new problem is that you have way too many people wanting to work with you. The demand for your services is way higher than the time you have in a day. And that's where scaling comes in.
For women going to the top, we're setting up scalable offers, scaled marketing, and a company where you have support from team and systems so that your business finally is something taking care of you instead of you feeling like the business is one more thing you have to take care of. No matter where you are on your journey, I have the exact program to help you. We work on your brand inside the Brand Alchemy Accelerator and your messaging inside the Words Are Wands Mastermind. And for those ready to expand from solopreneur to entrepreneur running a company, I help you do it in a pleasure-filled way inside of the Pleasure and Precision Mastermind. Branding, messaging, and scaling. These three skills make up the triple threat skill set stack and are the clearest, fastest pathway for your business to bloom in ways you never dreamt possible. To learn more and join us, head to www.katherinemorsoncoaching.com. I'll see you there. Thank you.